We're learning Yeshaya, Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Masa Duma, a prophecy concerning Duma. This is one of the examples of a Parsha, a Nevuah in Yeshaya, which can be understood in different ways, referring to different time periods. But it's worthwhile to mention, because this will come up in this Nevuah, and it'll come up in the next Nevuah. But when the Torah lists the descendants, the children that Avraham had from Keturah, and Chazal say that Keturah was Hagar, it gives a list of names, which very often we don't remember. It's just the Baal Kori reads it and we go further. But when you have a Nevuah like this, we'll see a lot of the names come into play. In the end of Parshas Chayisara, Perek Chof Hei, in Bereishis, Vayosef Avram Vayikach Ishu Shmo Keturah, Avram took a wife with the name Keturah, and it mentions all the children that she had. She had a child, Yokshan, and Yokshan gave birth to somebody, Didon. And then it mentions the children, the descendants of Yishmael, who was born from Hagar. He had a child, Kedar. He had a child, Duma, Umishma V'Duma, Umasa. It lists all the names. One of them was Duma. The Chadad V'Seima, Yitur Nafish V'Kedma. There was a child, Tema. And these names, we'll see, are understood by certain Mephorshim to be referring to what we're going to say today. Chazal say Keturah and Hagar is the same person. True. That I just mentioned it because
why does it have to say
Yishmael? But Mr. Dresner asked, if Keturah was Hagar, why does it mention Yishmael separately? And the answer is Avram married Hagar and they had the child Yishmael. And then he sent away Hagar and Yishmael. Later on it says Avram married a wife Keturah. And Chazal say different reasons why she was given that title, but Keturah was Hagar. But the simple meaning is it was a different woman. But even if it was Hagar, these are not children from Yishmael. Yishmael was one child and he has his own descendants. And Keturah had other, later on Hagar had other children. But these are different families all descending from Hagar. Masa Duma. So one explanation, the Metzudas learns this way, other Rishonim in the Radak, Masa Duma, this is a prophecy concerning Duma. And Duma is from these descendants, it's from the family of Yishmael, it's actually a cousin, but it's all considered to be the families of Yishmael descending from Hagar. At a point in history, Seir, which is Edom, Esav, came and attacked the Duma. And this Nevuah says, Eli Kore Mi Seir. The Navi says, they're calling out, and here's this Nevuah about something coming, a punishment coming from Seir. Eli Kore Mi Seir. The Nevuah is calling to me, Mi Seir, from what Seir is going to do to the nation Duma. Shomer Mami Laila. And the people in Yishmael, when they are going to set up a watchman to be on alert for the enemy, and they're going to ask the watchman, Shomer Mami Laila, watchman, what happened last night? Did the people from Esav make any inroads in the country? Did they attack anywhere? What happened last night? Shomer Mami Lail, and it repeats the question because of the urgency. Shomer, Mami, Leil, what happened last night? Amar Shomer, the watchman, will say, Osa Boker, the morning came. Nothing happened last night. All's quiet on the Western Front. Okay. Osa Boker, the morning came. Vigam Loila. But there's another night that's going to follow. Tomorrow night's another night, and the night is an advantageous time to make a surprise attack. Vigam Loila, there's a night that's going to follow. In Tivoyun Boyu. if you really want to ask and you want to know what's going to be, shuvu esoyu. So return, come back. Shuvu, return. Esoyu and come. Come back tomorrow, come back the next day. Every morning you'll have to ask what happened. Because Duma was in fear that Esav's going to attack. You want to know what happened last night? Last night was peaceful. But you're going to have the same problem tomorrow and the day after. You never know when they're going to come. That's one way this pasuk is understood. Masa Duma. Who's Duma? So the Meforshim look through Tanakh. They find the name Duma. This obviously is a nevuah concerning these descendants from Keturah. Another way of understanding it, and this is the way most of the alternative, the way Chazal learn, Duma is going on the nation of Edom. And we'll discuss why they're called Duma, why Duma has to do with them. But Duma is referring to the nation, the Romans, the nation of Edom that destroyed Klal Yisrael, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi says, Rashi brings a pasuk in Yecheskel that Duma can be understood as referring to Esav. Masa Duma. The simple explanation is we're talking about a destruction that Edom had earlier in history. In order to understand this, the Malbim draws our attention. There's a Haftorah in Parshas Vayishlach. We lay in the whole Sefer Ovadia. It's one of the 12 smaller prophecies, one of the Trei Osar. And Ovadia, as we read the whole Parsha, and it talks about Esav, because in the laning we talked about Yaakov meeting Esav and all about Esav's chieftains and all of the leaders of Esav. So the Haftorah talks about Esav. And over there the Pasuk says, it talks about Esav, im ganovim bo lecha, if robbers come to you, im shodadei laila, people are coming at night to plunder, eich nechbesu Esav, the Novi in Ovadia continues, how is it that Esav was searched out, nivu matzpunov, and all of their hidden things were revealed? It seems that there was an enemy that came to Esav and pillaged and stole. But it wasn't like they won it in a direct war. It was like came in like robbers, but somehow they were able to take everything that Esav had. They weren't hasty like robbers. They were able to do a thorough search, and they found hidden things. And the way the Malbim explains it, Edom, which is Esav, was warned that an enemy was coming. And they were advised to send their men to the border. So they all went to the border to wait for thinking the enemy was coming. While they were outside, all of their soldiers were not in the country, the enemy came into the land and took all the wealth and killed the women and the children and took the money. So they're compared to like Ganovim, like robbers, the marauders that come at night. They came in secret. They didn't fight a battle. The soldiers weren't there, and they came in and they took everything. And that's what the Novi talks about in Ovadia. How is it that Esav, the robbers, came? Im shodei laila, and they were able to spend their time. There was a war. They weren't afraid of what would be in the morning because they knew the soldiers were far away on the front. Masa Duma. This is a nevuah about Edom. And it could be this happened, the Malbim says in Sefer Ovadia, could be it was through Nebuchadnezzar, could be it was during the times of Hordus, which was much later, during the second Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar was at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So Masa Duma. This is a nevuah concerning Edom. Eli Kore Miseir. To me, they're calling Miseir from Seir. They want to know exactly what happened. They had a watchman who was making sure the country was safe. just to keep up with what was happening, but all the soldiers were away. So they were calling from Seir, Shomer Mami Laila, and they wanted to know, watchman, what happened last night? Shomer Mami Lail, what happened at night? Omar Shomer, so the Shomer said, Osa Boker, you know, the morning has arrived. It's daylight. It's the time when normally the robbers and the thieves disappear. They don't want to be seen. But Osa Boker, the morning's here, Vigam Loila, and it still feels like night. They're still robbing, they're still pillaging, they're ransacking, they're searching all of the treasures. In Tivoyum Bo'oyu, if you want to meet the enemy, you want to protect your land, Shuvu, return back home. As Esoyu and come. The enemy is here. It's not, you're waiting at the border, you're missing, the battle's not over there, you're missing the struggle on the home front, at home. But Chazal learn, and this is the way Rashi explains it, the Gemara brings it down like this, that Masa Duma is a nevuah referring to Galus Edom. The exile we're suffering right now, it's called Galus Edom because Edom destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. We were exiled, and we're still here. We're still in exile from one country to another, but we've never gone back as a nation totally to Eretz Yisrael with the third Beis HaMikdash. Masa Duma. This is a nevuah concerning Galus Edom. Duma can mean from the word to be quiet. Vayidom Aaron. Aaron was quiet when his sons died. Masa Duma, it's a time, a nevuah said, when Klal Yisrael's quiet. We don't have Nevi'im. In earlier times, there were Nevi'im who lived through that era. Or even Golus Yavon was, there were Nevi'im right before that. But here, we're in Golus Edom, we're far, we're distant. We haven't had prophecy. It began hundreds of years after nevuah stopped. And we're still here, there's no Nevi'im, and we have no idea what's going to be. No one can say with certitude, Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, the Golus will be over at a certain time. We're quiet. Other Mephorshim understand it. The Goyim ask, Ayei Elokecha, where is our Kodesh Baruch Hu? You worship God, where is He? Why doesn't He help you out? And Klal Yisrael's quiet because we don't, There's a certain level of Chilul Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll bring the Geula. Lo l'manchem ani yoseh. I'm not doing it for your sake, but there's a Chilul Hashem that Klal Yisrael's in Golus. We're God's nation. We keep the Torah and the mitzvahs. We're hoping for the Geula. And at a certain point, Hashem is going to say, this Chilul Hashem has to end, and the Geula must come. But right now we're Duma, we're quiet. It's hard to explain. Why is it Klal Yisrael suffering this way? Masa Duma. This is the nevuah said by Klal Yisrael under Edom when we're quiet. And Duma could also be as the term Dom Lashem v'Yischol Elo. Either be quiet or hope for Hashem. Because right now we're quiet. We don't know when the Geula is going to be. But we're hoping and we're waiting for that Geula. There's a very interesting Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. When Yaakov was sleeping and he saw the vision of the ladder, V'nei Malachei Elokim Olim V'yordnibo, the angels were going up and down. And the Ramban brings a Medrash Chazal that these angels that he saw were the guardian angels of the different countries. Every country has his angel. And the angel of Bavel went up 70 rungs on the ladder. And then he came down. Because Bavel had control for 70 years over Klal Yisrael. And every exile, he saw Yavon go up, Madai go up. He saw every nation go up, whatever number of rungs, however many years they controlled the Jewish people, and they went down. And then he saw a malach that was going up and up and up and up, referring to Golus Edom, the exile we're in now. That it just seems that they're on this ladder, one rung after another, 1 year, 1 century. It just goes on and on. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above that ladder. V'nei Hashem nitzav alo v'yomar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above that ladder, protecting Klal Yisrael, protecting Yaakov, that no matter how bad it would be, Hashem will protect them. And Hashem said, don't worry, no matter how high, im tagbia kanesher, even if they go high like an eagle, but eventually Edom will come down and will be brought down to earth. It will come to an end eventually. Masa Duma. This is a nevuah concerning Duma, concerning Edom, concerning our ghosts under Edom. Eli Korei Miseir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eli, to me, Korei Miseir. The Novi or the Malach is calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's calling out Miseir, from what we're going through with Seir. Seir is another term for Rome, for Edom, for Esav. They're calling to me. What's going to be with Seir? Shomer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the Shomer Yisrael, the Shomer, the watchman. Mami Laila, what's going to be with this night? Shomer, the watchman, Mami Lael, what's going to be again with the night? But the Malbim points out, Lael and Laila, they both mean night. But Laila, with a hey at the end, is Lashon Nekeva, is in the feminine form of the word, which is taken as the weaker, more gentler night. It can be a night when it's not light outside, so it's night. The absence of light makes it dark. That's the Laila. Then the Shomer Mami Lael, this darkness of Golus is without the hay at the end. It's Lashon Zachar. It's a powerful, strong darkness. It's a suffering that Klal Yisrael is going through. What's going to be with the Lael? It's an extreme night. And that's why you'll find psukim like Lael Shimurim Hu Lashem. It doesn't say Laila. It's a Lael, but in meaning a strong light, but a night. It's a night that's not just the absence of light, but it's a very deep darkness. And Hashem says that Lael is the Shimurim. This is going to be the night of guarding, but in the midst of a Lael. And there's other psukim, Kaleil Hiskade Shchog, referring to Pesach. Shomer Mami Lael. What's going to be with this darkness, with the Golus that we're going through? Amar Shomer, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Asa Voker, the morning has come, meaning it's right here, it's ready to be here. V'gam Loila, and one explanation is V'gam Loila, also night, could mean it's going to be Boker for the Tzadikim, for Klal Yisrael, for the righteous. Asa Voker, the morning is here. V'gam Loila, and the night is also here. The tables are going to be turned. For the Rishoyim, it's going to become night. And for the Tzadikim, it's going to be morning. Asa Boker, v'gam Loila. Im tivoyun bo'oyu. If you ask for it, if you desire it, you want the Geula, shuvu, do tshuva. Esoyu and come. Come to me. And Hashem says, if you do tshuva, the Geula is already to be here. Asa Boker, it's already. The morning has come, v'gam loila, and the night for the Rishayim. It'll be the end of days. Just in tivoyun boyu, if you want it, shuvu, do tshuva, esoyu, and come to me. It's also taken in a similar vein. Chazal say, there's two zamanim for the geula. Be'ita achishena. In its time, the geula can come in its time. And achishena, there's also the idea of hastening it, of bringing it sooner. So Klal Yisrael might feel that it's in the night. What's going to be with this night? It's not possible for the geula to come. We're in the middle of the geulas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, Osa Boker, it can come the morning, you can have the geula v'gam loila, even if it's still night. V'gam loila, it's night also, it's golos now. But you can have the gula as soon as you want it, even though it might still be the time of golos. in tivoyin bo'oyu. If you want it, shuvo isoyu, do tshuva. If you do tshuva, it can be during the time of Golus. And in the middle, the Gula can come early. Shuvo isoyu, just return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Me'am Loes brings a mashal from the Dubna Magid. And he explains the pasuk as follows. He says there was a mashal. There was an Oshir Nichbod Bachatzar HaMelech. There was a wealthy man who was in the royal court. And there were those who were jealous of him, and they made up a forced libel that he deserved to be killed. So the king sent to call for him. And the king wanted to that this usher should come to the king and should say if he did something wrong or should explain himself, and perhaps he could be pardoned. The king really cared for this wealthy man, but it seemed like he's guilty. So the king called for him, and when the king sent his men to this man's house, he was lying in bed and he was sleeping. So they took him straight out of bed. He was asleep, he was groggy, it was in the middle of the night, and they took him and they threw him into a deep dungeon where it was dark. And when they took him there, he asked them, "Why am I being taken? What's going on? Where are you pulling me?" And they had no idea. They couldn't tell him. They didn't know. The king just said to take him, put him in the dungeon. Anyways, they put him back in this deep pit, and he fell into a deep sleep again. And when he woke up, he forgot what previously had happened that night when he was half asleep, and he thought he was in his house, and he opened his eyes and it's still dark. And every morning when he woke up, he used to wake in when the light came in through the window, he woke up, and here he woke up and it's dark. So he figured he didn't see anything. He said, "Definitely it's not daytime." So he went back to sleep. A while later, again he woke up and he says, "It's still not light outside. It must still be night." And he feels rested. It seems like it should be the morning, but it's dark. And he's in wonderment. And he says, "How could it be? What about this night? Like Manishtana Halayla Zemikal Halaylos. How come this night just seems to be going on forever?" Now the king had come, and the king wanted to see what's going to do when he wakes up. When he wakes up and he sees he's in a dungeon, is he going to realize I'm here in a prison? Why am I put here? And he'd know that people made up a story, and then he'd plead his case to the king. And the king is there, and he hears the man from the bottom of the pit say, "What, this night is going on forever?" And the king is very saddened, and he sees that the person isn't aware of the fact that anything's wrong and that he should plead from the king. He just feels that the night is long, and he doesn't realize that he's been placed into this jail. And the king thinks to himself, "Hoi sochel, what a fool. You think you're at home, you think you're in bed, and you're waiting for the daylight to come. It's been daylight many times. You just keep on falling asleep. You should realize that you're here in jail, you're in a gullus, you don't belong where you are, and call out and find out why you're here and do something about it." And the nimshal is, when we had the Beis HaMikdash, there were times of night, and there were times of daytime. There was Midas HaChesed, Midas HaRachmim, sometimes there was Midas HaDin, there was suffering, there were good times, there were bad times, but, and there were ways that we knew through the Nevi'im, or on Yom Kippur, they had a strip of wool to know whether the Averis were forgiven or not, and if they weren't forgiven, or the Nevi'im told them what was wrong, they did tshuva, and they were misorer, they arouse themselves to improve their ways. But now Bizman the Churban, it's like B'machashakim Hoshivani Kemesei Olam. It says in Eicha, it's like we're placed in the dark like the eternal dead. And it's like we have no idea when's the Eis Ratzon, when's the morning, when's the night, when's the time of Rachamim. If you ask for the Geula at the right time, there's certain times that are more propitious. There are certain times that are the Gula is ready to, it's right here. Just like that guy in the bottom of the pit. Sometimes it's night, sometimes it's day. But if during the daytime you'd wake up and you'd come to your senses and you'd ask to be taken out, you'd see the light. And certain times there are midas hadin. Certain times it's not the time that the geula could be brought. So that's what the Novi says over here. Masa Duma, a nevuah referring to our Golus now in Edom. Eli Kori Miseir, they're calling to me. Klai Yisrael wants to know what's going to be with this Golus. Shomer Mami Laila, what's going to be with this night? Shomer Mami Leil. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, Amar Shomer, Osa Boker. The morning has come. V'gam Loila. But now it's night again. You missed it. There were certain times that the Gula could have come and then it became night again. And then there was another Boker. And then again Laila. There are certain times that are, in which very often there are Mephorshim that will tell you, now you hear it even more and more often, because the truth is we're closer and closer to the Geula, and there are certain Tzaddikim and Chachomim and Mekubalim, and there are those who will tell you that now is a certain time where the Geula is ready to come, and we're all waiting for it, and it doesn't seem to come. And a person might think, well, they were wrong. They said the Geula was coming and it didn't happen. Mashiach was supposed to come today, it didn't happen. But the meaning is, Osa Boker, the morning came, there were certain times it was ready, the Geula was ready, but Vagam Loila, we let that opportunity slip, and now we're back into the night. But in Tivoyun Bo'oyu, if we would just ask, if you want the Geula, Shuvu, do Tshuva, Esoyu, and come to me, and then the Geula would be here. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, the first Mishnah of Baba Kama, all the yeshiva bachrim learn it, Arvavus Nazikin, there are four categories of Mazikin, of those who do damage. There's a one law, if you have an animal that does damage, if you have a fire that causes a conflagration somewhere, you have different responsibilities for your different objects. So you make a hole in the street, you also have a liability. One of the categories is Mave. Ashor v'abor v'amave v'ahever. The word mave is an unusual word. Mave. What kind of a mazik is mave? And the Gemara has two opinions. And one of them is, mave is referring to Adam. Meaning there's a separate category of damage known as a person. A person has much more liability for what you do than for what your property does. Right? If your dog goes into somebody's yard and eats the vegetables, that's a certain responsibility you have for your animal. But if you're mazik, you're much more liable. There's a separate category of mave. And the Gemara asks, why is mave the term used for Adam? We could have said, Ashor v'abor and Adam hever. Why? Shor v'abor and mave. What's this word mave? And the Gemara says, mave refers to a person because of this pasuk. Omar Shomer, the watchman says, Osa boker v'gam loyla, mornings come at night, in tivoyun be'oyu. If you desire it, if you ask for it, shuvu esoyu, do tshuva and come. If you ask for it, in tivoyun be'oyu, if you want it, you desire it, you ask for it. Which creature asks? Is able to think and to plan and to have a purpose, who exactly he should guide his request to. He has a bonding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he realizes that what he needs is from Hashem. That's man. Mave ze Adam. It gives a different perspective on tefillah, on davening. There's certain things that you do, but it's not what you are. If somebody asks you, what are you? So you're not an accountant, you're not a bus driver, you're not any other profession. Somebody asks you what you are. Ivri Anochi, I'm a Jew. That's what I am. And I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, to make a living, different people do different things. But he's not his profession. He's a Jew. That's what he is. If you want to ask what a person is, sometimes a person can think, you know, I do whatever I do, and I also happen to put aside time to daven. I daven. But what the Gemara is telling you, and the Bali Musar pointed out, is a lot deeper. It's not that a person davens. Mavezeh Odom means that's your nature, that's your defining feature, that you are a creature that is able to ask from Hashem. That's what man is. Man is the type of being that is able, that has that connection to Hashem, and that's defining him. Maveh could be Odom, in tivoyun v'oyu, because man can ask for it. I was thinking to add, but you see from there also a point, that on one hand we're describing man in terms of his greatness, but he could be Maveh. But the Gemara teaches us that lesson when it's telling you about the Mazikin. That as holy as a person is, and as great, and as bonding as he is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's a Maveh, he's the one who knows how to daven, and he asks from Hashem, and he has that relationship. But he's got to be careful not to harm anyone else. Our Bovis Nezikin, there's four types of Nezikin, and one of them is Maveh. But this is what we see in the Pasukim. Tivoyim Bo'oyu. If Klal Yisrael wants, if you want the Geula, so Shuvu, return, I saw you and come, and the Geula will be here. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Masa ba'arov. A nevuah concerning Arov. The Metzuda says these are B'nai Kedar, which was one of those nations we mentioned, one of the descendants coming from Avram and Hagar, Keturah. A nevuah about Arov. Bayar Barov Tolinu, in the forest, in Arov, Tolinu, you'll dwell, you'll dwell, Orchos Didonim, the caravans of the Didonim. Didonim was also one of these nations, came from Keturah, and the Didonim would travel through Arabia, and they would have places to stay. But Arov is going to be destroyed, as we'll see in a moment. So Masa Barov, the nevuah concerning Arov is that the caravans that travel through the Orchos Didonim are going to find themselves sleeping in the forest. There's not going to be a hotel, there's not going to be a place to stay, because Arov will be destroyed. Another pshat, as Rashi learns, Masa Barov, this is a nevuah about the Arvim, about the Arabs. Bayar Barov Tolinu. Rashi says, I've seen what you have done by the Golus Ashur. When Ashur exiled my nation, he exiled the 10 tribes, and they exiled the others till he was destroyed. And they asked their captives, at least take us by our family. We're related to these people, the Masa Barov, we all come from Avram Avinu, take us near their land, and they'll have Rachmanus on us. But Bayar Barov Tolinu, and you went out, and you would spend the night in the forest, Orchos Didonim, by the caravans of Didonim here, meaning like Dodim, Dodchem, your relatives, your cousins, Orchos Didonim. Instead of going to help Klal Yisrael going out to exile, they would wait around by the road as Klal Yisrael was coming. Likras Tzomei HaSoyumayim, to greet somebody who's thirsty, the proper thing is to bring water. Yoshvei Eretz Tema, those that live in the land of Tema, Tema was another one of these nations, these Arab nations, those who live in the land of Tema, Balachmo Kidmo Nodeid, with his bread, with his food, he came to greet the wanderer. Rashi brings this in Chumash, in Parshas Vayera, when it says Hagar was sent away with Yishmael, and Avram gave them Vayikam Lechem V'chem Asmaim, he took food, and he sent them out with water, and the water ran out. Yishmael was running a fever, and he drank more, and he was going to die from thirst. He was sick, and Hagar threw him down. She moved to a distance, and at that point the question was, there was a tumult in Shemayim, there was a commotion, should we save Yishmael or not? Rashi brings the same pasuk, and Rashi discusses it here also. Likras tzomei heisoyumayim. Right now, when the Jewish nation is being exiled, to greet somebody who's thirsty, heisoyumayim, you should bring water. But what happened was, Yoshvei Eretz Tema, those that lived in the land of Tema, Belachmo, with their bread, Kidmu Nodeid, they greeted the wanderer. They brought types of food that were salty, and they brought flasks that just had air in it, and the people ate a little of that salty food, and they just had to have a drink, and they put the flask to their mouth, which just had air, and they died. What's interesting is sort of the cruelty. It wasn't just that they ignored the Jewish refugees, but they put an effort into serving them food. It was the stories with the Nazis, Yamach Shemom, and the planning and the effort, and they would write down the names of the victims, and they'd keep records, and a whole bunch of things. They invested effort into killing the Jews here. But Likras Tzomei, to greet the one who's thirsty, instead of bringing water, they brought salty food, and that caused their death. Balach Mokid Munodeid, with their salty food, they greeted the wanderer, and then they gave him the flask of air, and the refugees died. The Jewish people died. And as Rashi says in Parshas Vayera, they said, how can you save Yishmael? Yishmael's descendants are going to kill the Jews through thirst. And now that Yishmael's thrown down by his mother under the bush, it's just a matter of time, he's going to die. Why should we save him? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, right now, is he a tzaddik or a rasha? Meaning to say, Yishmael wasn't a tzaddik like we think of it. But tzaddik meaning, is he righteous enough to live? Does he deserve to die right now? And the answer is, if he doesn't deserve to die right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed his mother a well of water, and Yishmael was saved. If he doesn't deserve to die right now, even if centuries later, he is going to kill Jews through thirst. But right now, he's saved. Ki mipnecha rovos nododu. But over here, the Navi is saying, you Arabs, you should save the Jews who are wandering through your land. Ki mipnei charovos nododu. They're wandering because of the sword. Mipnei cherev netusha. Because of a sword that spread across their land. Mipnei keshes derucha. And because of the bow that's been pressed out, of a foot bow where they press it with their foot to shoot the arrow with great force. For those who work out in the gym, they know that with a force, with their legs, they have a greater power than with their arms. Usually the legs have a greater strength. Mipnei keshes derucha, the bow that's pressed with the legs. Mipnei kovid milchama, and because of the heavy battle. That's why the Jews are coming. And as the Malbim points out, they weren't going into exile because they were not good people, they were a danger to society, they were a threat. But kimibnei charovos nododu, they're wandering because there's an enemy sword. It's not like they were kicked out like common criminals and they were exiled from the land. There's a war going on because of the sword. Mibnei cherev netusha, and this sword is spread over the whole land. Mibnei keshes derucha, and because of the bow that's been pressed out. And even so, they didn't go ahead and just leave without putting up a fight. Mipnei kovid milchoma, because of the heavy battle. The Malbim learns that this Masa Barov is referring to the downfall of the B'nai Kedar, one of these countries here. And that they're going to have a downfall through the hands of Sancheiriv. Bayar Barov Tolinu. that now all those caravans of Bnei Dedan who used to travel through the land of Kedar, and the people of Kedar would bring them in. And he says, Shekein minhag Bnei Arov ad hayom, that there are countries that up to today are known for their hospitality. I think there are certain countries that once you're in their house, ki al kein bo betzel korasi, like, once you come into my house, you're protected. And they'll take care of their guests. After you leave, they might stab the guest in the back. But in this country, they're known that they bring people in as a guest. And Bayar, Barov, Tolino, Orchos, Dedonim, these caravans of Bnei Dedon are now going to have to sleep in the forest. Likras Tzomehe Soyumayim. So these Plite Kedar, those people of Kedar are going to be exiled by Sancheiriv. Likras Tzomehe Soyumayim. So the people in Eretz Tamar should greet these other Plite Kedar. They should give them with water. Yoshve Eretz Tamar V'lachmo Kidmu Nodeid. With bread you should bring them. V'lachmo Kidmu Nodeid. The way the Malbim learns, the people of Kedar used to bring bread to the wanderers. So if they took care of you, and now they're being exiled, so you should take care of them, the people in Tamar. Kimibnei Charovos Nododu, and the people in Kedar who are being exiled, is only because of the enemy sword. Mipnei Cherev Netusha, the sword that spread over their land. And even though the descendants, there were those Arab countries that were archers, they were fighters. It says, Vayhi Rovek Hashos, Yishmael was somebody who shot with a bow and arrow. But here, Mipnei Keshes Derucha, even though they knew how to fight with the Keshes, but the enemy also had their pressed out bows, and the enemy overcame them. And they put up a battle. It was a struggle, but they obviously lost. So you people who live in Tamar, why didn't you care for the exiles of Kedar? But kicho amar Hashem Eloi, so says Hashem to me. Ba'od shona kishnei sochir, in just another year, and it's going to be a year that will be exact like the years of a sochir, a hired worker who's working by the year, doesn't put in more than his time, but in exactly a year, v'kol kol kavod Kedar, all of the honor of Kedar will come to an end. Ushaor mispar keshes, ushaor in the remnant, mispar keshes, those few people who are the archers, giborig b'nei Kedar, the giborim of Kedar, yimotu will be fewer and fewer. Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael diber, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Elokei Yisrael, has spoken. Parakhof Beis. Parakhof Beis. Previously we said in Nevuah about the destruction of Bavel. That was at the beginning of Parakhof Aleph, which we learned last week. It discussed the Navi in Pasuk Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Ches, Vayikra Aryeh, he called out the lion. Rashi had said that was the Navi Chavakuk, who's called the lion. Chavakuk called out. And he said, Al Mitzvah, I'm by the watch. Hashem, Anochi Omei Tamid, I'm always standing here, Yomam by day, Val Mishmartin, I'm on my guard, Anochi Nitzav Kol HaLeilos, I'm waiting at night. And there were Mefarshim that said, Chavakuk was wondering, when is Golas Bavel going to be over? It's supposed to be 70 years from Golas Bavel, and there's different ways of calculating it, but it seems it should be over. That was Golas Bavel. And Golas Edom seems to be, is the next prophecy. Shomer Mami Laila, Shomer Mami Leil, what's going to be with this night, this Golas Edom, that seems to go on and on and on? But that's also going to come to an end. And the goyim that caused suffering to Klal Yisrael are also going to be punished. But at the same time, the Novi turns to Klal Yisrael and says, but you Klal Yisrael, even though they've done wrong and they're going to get punished, but you Klal Yisrael have to do what's right. And if Klal Yisrael is not worthy and we're not deserving, there's a punishment that's brought on Klal Yisrael. Masa, the following nevuah on Perek Chof Beis, Gei Chizoyon, is a prophecy about the valley, the valley Chizoyon of vision. It's referring to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was the place where most of the Nevi'im came from. Yerushalayim. Most of the Nevu'ahs were said concerning Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the center of the city where prophecy is intrinsic to the city. And yet here we call it a valley. At the same time we discuss the greatness of Yerushalayim, the fact that it's Chizoyon, the place of prophetic vision, but it's called a valley. And we know Yerushalayim is a mountain, but now spiritually, they've suffered a decline. They're lowered, and if their spiritual stature is low, we discuss them physically, we describe them physically as a valley. Masa Gei Chizoyon, a nevuah concerning the valley of nevuah. Malach Eifo, what happened to you now? Ki olis kuloch lagagos, that you've all gone up to the roofs. Everyone went up to the roof, and the simple meaning is Yerushalayim is under siege, and they want to see what the enemy's doing, so they would climb up to the roof and look over the wall and see what's happening. But what happened that everyone went up to the roof? Teshuos Malaya. Till now, the city was always full of commotion. Ir Homiya, it was a city that was tumulting. There was always a noise, there was excitement, there was doings. Kirya Aliza, it was a city full of simcha, of joy. It was an exuberant town. And now all of a sudden, Chalalayich lo chalalecherev. Those that were killed weren't killed by the sword. Velo meisei melchama. And they didn't die in war, but they died in hunger. The city was under siege and people died from starvation. They weren't killed by the sword. Rashi brings down the Gemara in Tainus. I'll quote the Gemara in Tainus on Daf Chof Tes. Chof Tes Amar Aleph. The Gemara says as follows. Tana Rabbanan, Mishacharav HaBayis Barishona, by the first Churban, the Churban Bayis Rishon, Niskabsu Kitos Kitos, Shel Pirchei Kohuna. There were many groups of young Kohanim, Umavtechos HaHechol Biyodon, and they had the keys to open the Hechol in their hands. V'olu L'gag HaHechol, and these young Kohanim went up to the roof of the Hechol, the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. V'omru L'fonov, and they said before Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Hoyel v'lo zachinu lios gizborim nemonim, since we didn't merit to be faithful trustees, Yiu maftechos mesuros loch, the keys should be given to you. We had the keys of the Beis HaMikdash. Till now we were careful. Every morning the doors were unlocked. At nighttime it was locked. There were guards surrounding the Beis HaMikdash. But obviously the Churban is coming and Hashem is letting the enemy take it. So if we don't deserve to be the Gizborim anymore, so you Mavtechos Mesuros Loch, the keys should be given back to you. V'zorkum Klapei Mala, and they took those keys and they threw them up. V'yotzeso Kein Pisas Yad, and the form of a hand came out from the Shamayim, came out from the heavens. A hand, the form of a hand came out, v'kiblosan mehen, and caught those keys, and accepted them. V'heim koftsu v'noflu l'socho or. And then those Kohanim jumped, and they fell into the fire. V'alehen konin Yeshayahu hanovi. And about those Kohanim, Yeshaya said that the psukim we're saying now, Maso gei chizoyon, a nevuah, about the valley of the prophetic visions. Malach Eifo, what's happened to you now? Ki olis kulach lagagos, you've all gone up to the roofs. The Kohanim went up to the roof. Teshuos Malaya, the city that was full of commotion, Ir Homiya, with the tumult, Kirya Aliza, the exuberant town. Chalalaych lo chalalaych cherev lo meisei melchoma. They haven't died by the sword. They didn't die in war. And af ba kodesh baruch hu nemar. And by a kodesh baruch hu also. Hashem's reaction was, Makarkir kir v'shoa el hahar. Which Rashi explains, Makarkir kir, it's as if a kodesh baruch hu himself is crying and wailing. V'shoa, and screaming out, El Hahar, by what's happened to his mountain. Al Har Tzion Sheshomein, the mountain of the Beis HaMikdash, that's now desolate. Kol Kitzinayich, we'll see that pasuk of Makarkir Kir a little later. Kol Kitzinayich, all of your officers, Nodudu Yachad, they all wandered off together. Mikeshes Usaru, and they were caught. They were like Matir Asurim. Asurim is a prisoner. Mikeshes from the bow, Usaru, they were imprisoned. This could be referring to Tzidkiyahu at the end of that first Beis HaMikdash. He had a secret underground tunnel that extended for miles. And when the city was under siege, he went into that tunnel with his officers. Kol kitzinayich nodedu yachad. The officers wandered together, and they went through the tunnel. And they came out near Yericho. They came out far away. And at that time, the enemy saw a deer, and they started chasing, and they saw the deer running. They wanted to catch the deer. This was at a distance from Yerushalayim, and they were chasing the deer to catch it. And then the deer, as they got closer to the deer, all of a sudden they saw Tzidkiyahu and his men come out of the tunnel. Mikeshes, when they're hunting with their bow and arrow, and they wanted to catch that deer. Mikeshes usaru. That caused the officers to be imprisoned. Kol nimtzaayich usru yachtov. And all those that were found within the city, they were all locked up together. Meirochok borochu. Those that fled to a distance, the enemy found all of them. Alkeno marti. Therefore I said, Shumini. Refrain from me. Turn away from me. Amorer babechi. I'm going to weep bitterly. Al ta'itzu nachameni. Don't hasten. Don't hurry to comfort me. Al show basami. About the plunder, the calamity of my people. Kiyom mehuma, because it's a day mehuma of breaking, of suffering, of turmoil. Umevusa, of trampling. Umevucha, in confusion. Lashem Elokim Tzavokos, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Elokim Tzavokos, Begei Chizoyon. This is a day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels the commotion and the tumult, the trampling. Makarkar Kir. The way the Gemara explains it, Makarkar Kir means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying out, Vishoa, and he's screaming El Ahor by what happens to Yerushalayim. The simple meaning of Makarkar Kir means Kir is a wall. Makarkar Kir means they're tearing down the wall. Vishoa el hahar. And they're crying out to attack the mountain, to go up to Har Tzion and to capture it. And as the enemy's coming, Ve'elam nosa ashba. Elam, there were other nations that joined Bavel in destroying Yerushalayim. Ve'elam, the people of Elam nosa ashba. They carried the ashba, the quiver, where all the bows and the arrows are. Where all the arrows are kept. Berechev Odom, in a chariot, chariots of men, poroshim, and horsemen. It could mean that there were so many arrows that were used, that they needed to transport the arrows on chariots. They had to have the horsemen. Elam came, and just there was a separate nation that was in charge of bringing the weapons. Berechev Odom Poroshim, V'kir Eira Mogain. And Kir, the city of Kir, Eira Mogain. Era bared Mogen their shields, and they revealed their shields so that Bovel could fight. It was like Kir did the stood in front of them with the shield, that they didn't have to hold a shield, they could hold just their weapons, and Kir held the defense shields. So all the Goyim came together to attack Yerushalayim. Vayhi mivchar amokayich, and the choicest of your valleys became molu rochev. They were filled with chariots. Va'aparoshim, and the horsemen shos shosu hashora, placed themselves toward the shara, toward the gates of the city, and there was the enemy surrounding Yerushalayim toward the gates of the city. So we see the Novi talks about Bovel's destruction, but of course Bovel was destroyed and Bovel's finished. The Babylonian Empire is no more. We had that Nevuah about Edom, where we're still suffering in Golos Edom, but eventually they'll be destroyed. And this Nevuah about Yerushalayim's gone through the destruction. Right now we're waiting, as the Nevuah we had before, Shomer Mami Laila, Shomer Mami Leil, what's going to be with the night, and with the Leil, the strong, harsh night. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's ready, the Geula's right here, we're at the doorsteps. The times have come. We just have to seize the moment. Im tivoyun bo'oyu. If you want the geula, shuvu eisoyu. Just do tshuva and come to me, and the geula is here. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.